Title of this one is A New Jewish Church. Brother E.C. Moore. Here's Brother Moore.
Thank you, and I too welcome you to Grace Believers Bible Study this morning. As I normally do, I want to recommend that you get a Bible so that you can read the scripture with us. And if that isn't possible, then I recommend that you get a piece of paper, pen, pencil, and write down the scripture references. In the past, we've been talking about the depravity of man, and we discussed the fact that Adam fell from his exalted position, and later on, as men began to multiply on the face of the earth and so forth, finally, they got together under one man, under the leadership of one man named Nimrod, and they said, "We'll build us a tower that'll reach into heaven." And God Almighty confused their language and separated them, divided out the nations, and we've seen that there were three nations came through Noah. There was the nation that came from Shem, the reddish colored nation, as Indians and Jews and Asians and so forth. Then there's the black nations of people, came from Ham. And then there's Japheth, the father of the white race of men that ended up in Europe, British and such like, English. And so God chose, after he confused their language, then he chose one man that's a Shemite. Name is Abraham. And he told Abraham that he'd bless the other nations through him. But God Almighty called them out of the land of Egypt and established his covenant with them. And they made a mistake right off. When Moses read the law unto them, they said, "Whatsoever God has said, this we will do." But the Bible says in Romans chapter 3 that the law was given that the mouth of every man might be stopped and all the world become guilty before God. In other words, instead of saying, "We're going to do this," they should have cried and said, "It's impossible that we can do this. We cannot accomplish that. We can't rise to the occasion of fulfilling all of those commandments." But nevertheless, they continued. And so finally, they got in such sinful conditions concerning idolatry until they crucified, they called for the death of God's Son. And so the Bible says in Romans chapter 11, I want you to look there. Romans chapter 11, verse 11 says, "I say then, if they stumbled, that they should fall. God forbid, but rather through their fall, salvation is come unto the Gentiles to provoke them to jealousy above all other nations anymore." They literally became Lo-Ammi, as in the book of Hosea. Hosea chapter 1. The word Lo-Ammi means "not my people." So Israel became not God's people. And so Jesus Christ established a new nation. Now I have on the board up here some things that I want to discuss today. I've got on this side the church in the wilderness. Now there are those today that believe there's just one church in the Bible. Jesus Christ said, "Upon this rock," Matthew chapter 16, he said, "Upon this rock I will build my church." So there's the teaching that there's just one church. But there's the church in the wilderness. There's the church that was built upon that rock. It's called the church at Jerusalem. And there's the church which is Christ's body. So I want us to look at these three and see some things about them. Turn please into Exodus chapter 19. Exodus chapter 19. Notice in verse 3, Exodus 19 verse 3. And Moses went up unto God, and the Lord called unto him out of the mountain, saying, Thus shalt thou say to the house of Jacob, and tell the children of Israel, You have seen what I did unto you, the Egyptians, and how I bare you on eagle's wings and brought you unto myself. Now, therefore, if you will obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant, then you shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine. And you shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and an holy nation. These are the words which thou should speak unto the children of Israel. Turn, please, to Acts, and look in Acts chapter 7. In Acts chapter 7, it's a kind of a commentary on Israel all the way through, from the time that God appeared unto Abraham until their fall. Now notice in Acts chapter 7, verse 37, we're going to cut in the middle of everything now. In verse 37, this is that Moses which said unto the children of Israel, A prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you, unto your brethren, like unto me, him shall you hear. In other words, Stephen is preaching unto them the Lord Jesus Christ here, and saying that the Lord Jesus Christ is a prophet like unto Moses, and that God is going to raise up unto you, he promised to raise up unto you a prophet like unto that which Moses was. Now verse 38, this is he, Moses, a reference to Moses, this is he that was in the church in the wilderness, with the angel which spake to him in the Mount Sinai, and with our fathers who received the lively oracles. In other words, then, Moses became the head of that church which was in the wilderness. Now turn with me, please, to the book of Hebrews, and look in Hebrews chapter 3. In Hebrews chapter 3. All right, in Hebrews chapter 3, verse 1, he said, Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus, who was faithful to him that appointed him, as also Moses was faithful in all his house. For this man, Jesus Christ, was counted worthy of more glory than Moses, inasmuch as he hath builded the house, so forth and so on. Verse 5, Moses was faithful in all his house as a servant and so forth. So I know then that there was a church back there. That church is called the church in the wilderness, Acts chapter 7. Moses was their leader, although he was God's servant. He's the leader of that house. The head of that house is Moses. And so God sent his angel, and the law, the oracles, was given through the disposition of angels unto Moses, and Moses read these things unto the house of Jacob, unto the children of Israel, and so forth. And so there's a lot to be said about them back there. I find that this church in the wilderness is called a house, and it's called a nation. We just read it back there in Exodus chapter 19. Look there again. In Exodus 19, verse 5. Exodus 19:5. Now therefore, if you'll obey my voice indeed, and keep my covenant, then you shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine. And you shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and an holy nation. So this church that's in the wilderness, 40 years in the wilderness before they came into the promised land, is led by Moses, it's called a house, and it's called a nation. Now this nation, this house, this church was redeemed by the blood of a lamb. That lamb is a four-foot lamb. That's a little animal. And so in Exodus chapter 12 and 13, these things are laid out clearly. Moses tells the children of Israel, through God's instruction, while they're still in Egypt under bondage, that they take a lamb without blemish, obviously representing the Lord Jesus Christ. And they're to kill that lamb, and they're to catch his blood in a basin. And they're to take the blood of that lamb and paint it on the doorpost and over the door, get inside the house, because the death angel is going to pass in that way, and if he sees the blood, he will pass over. Hence, it's called the Passover lamb. It's called the Passover blood, and so forth. And so that lamb, then, that redeemed them out of Egypt through its blood, is a four-footed lamb out of the herd. These people are called sheep. They're referred to like sheep. And so the lamb represents a brother, so to speak, that came from God. The lamb is provided by the Lord himself. And they kill the lamb. They put the blood on the door. They get behind the blood. The blood is a testimony that they're redeemed, that they're trusting that blood. And so the death angel passes over. This house, this church in the wilderness, which is called a nation, redeemed by the blood of Christ, then were baptized in the Red Sea. Turn, please, to 1 Corinthians. And look in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 1, "Moreover, brethren, I would not that you should be ignorant how that all our fathers," that's Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, "all our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea, and were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea." So, this redeemed nation that's called a peculiar treasure and a kingdom of priests, it's called the church in the wilderness, it's called the house of Moses, it's called a nation, and that peculiar treasure, a kingdom of priests, are baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea. They walked across the Red Sea on dry ground with a wall of water on each side and a cloud overhead. They were baptized unto Moses and went out into the wilderness on their way to the, as they say, promised land. Now, this nation, though, went into apostasy. They began to follow the idols of the Gentiles, and so they built themselves high places, and they worshipped the things of the stars and whatever, and they built them idols, and they bowed down to those idols, and they worshipped those idols as the Gentiles did before them. And so, the Lord sent the Lord Jesus Christ into this nation here, first John the Baptist. And John the Baptist came unto these people, and John the Baptist is preaching repent. And he's preaching the baptism of repentance under remission of sins. But the Bible says in Luke chapter 7 that they rejected that. Turn to Luke. And in Luke chapter 7, verse 27, Jesus Christ, referring to John the Baptist, said, "This is he of whom it is written, Behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee. For I say unto you, among those that are born of women, there is not a greater prophet than John the Baptist, but he that is least in the kingdom of God is greater than he. And all the people that heard him," that is John, "and the publicans justified God, being baptized with the baptism of John. But the Pharisees and lawyers rejected the counsel of God against themselves, being not baptized of him." Now, a multitude of these people were baptized, but a great majority of them was led by the leaders of Israel at that time that were apostate, and so they rejected the counsel of John and rejected his baptism. So Jesus Christ came on the scene. And Jesus Christ then organized. Notice in Acts chapter 8. Acts chapter 8. And Saul was consenting unto his, that is Stephen's, death. And at that time there was a great persecution against the church, which was at Jerusalem. Well, then there was a church established at Jerusalem. Notice in Matthew chapter 16. In Matthew chapter 16, Jesus Christ asked Peter, "Who do you say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And he said in verse 16, Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." Come to verse 18. Jesus told him, "I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it," and so forth. Then a church is established. That church is built. Turn, please, to Acts and look at Acts chapter 2. In Acts chapter 2, Peter preaches unto these people, and he preaches to repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for remission of sins. And notice in verse 47, they were praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Why, it'd be out of my mind to say that I believe the Bible means what it said and say that the Lord added to this apostate church all that got saved. I'd be nuts to tell you something like that. So there's obviously a new church established through the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ, and it begins with 12 apostles. And they are called a church in Hebrews chapter 2. Turn to Hebrews chapter 2. Hebrews chapter 2, and it's about the Lord Jesus Christ, but notice in verse 5, "He that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified are all of one, for which cause he's not ashamed to call them brethren, saying, I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the church will I sing praise unto thee." Well, this you probably will find in Matthew 26, verse 30. They were in the upper room, and they sang an hymn and went out into the night. What's that got to do with anything? Well, if he sang in the midst of the church, the only place that I know anything about except by would be Acts 26. In the upper room, they sang an hymn. Well, if they sang in him, and Hebrews says that he sang in the midst of the church, then I know that the 12 apostles in that upper room with him there are a church. So a church is established with the apostles. And so it's called the church at Jerusalem. But in Hebrews chapter 3, we found that Jesus Christ is the head of that house, and that house is called a temple. And that house that Jesus Christ heads up and is the king of and is called a temple is called a new nation in 1 Peter. Turn, please, to 1 Peter chapter 2. In 1 Peter chapter 2. Now, notice in verse 5, 1 Peter 2, verse 5, "You also as lively stones are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood." we found that these people back here are a priesthood, but these over here also are a priesthood. Notice in verse 9, but you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, and so forth. Just as this back here is called a house, this church at Jerusalem is called a house, Hebrews 3. Just as this church back here is the church in the wilderness, this over here is the church at Jerusalem. Just as this over here is called a nation, this church here is called a new nation. It's called a holy nation. And just as this nation and this church back here was a priesthood, this church, this nation over here is called a priesthood. And just as this church, this nation over here is redeemed by blood, and that blood is the blood of a four-legged lamb. This church, this new nation over here, this holy priesthood over here, is also redeemed by the blood of a lamb, but it's a two-legged lamb. John the Baptist pointed the Lord Jesus Christ out, and he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world." So I know then that just as they were redeemed by the blood of the Lamb that was slain, and the blood put over the door and on the doorpost and whatever, and they were behind that blood, then I know that the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ in the confession that they made, as they confessed Christ, as they confessed that they believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of the living God, as in Acts 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and so, then they would have believed that his blood had been shed and he had been resurrected from the dead. And so they were redeemed by the blood of that Lamb, which is the Lord Jesus Christ himself. But that isn't all. Just as this nation back here, that is a holy priesthood representing God and so forth, are baptized in the Red Sea, this new nation, this holy nation, this kingdom of priests over here, and so forth, is baptized with the baptism of repentance. As in Acts. Turn, please, to Acts chapter 2. In Acts chapter 2, Peter, in this context, is preaching a murder indictment against them. He, in effect, says, "You murdered the Lord. You killed him." And we know that they killed him in their hearts. They intended for him to die. And yet Jesus had said, "No man taketh my life from me. I have the power to lay it down and the power to take it again." So we know that Jesus Christ willingly gave up his life. But these people nailed him to the cross, the place of the death of a criminal. Now, so after Peter preaches this murder indictment against them, notice who he's speaking to. In verse 14, "But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, You men of Judea, and you that dwell at Jerusalem," which would be Jews down in verse 22, "You men of Israel, hear these words." Notice in verse 36, "Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ." So I know the message of Acts chapter 2 is to the Israelite. It's to the nation Israel, Judea, and the 10 tribes. Now, in verse 37, "Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart." In other words, they were convicted. They had pain in their heart. They said, in effect, "We've done wrong." They were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" Then Peter said unto them, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost." Well, then, these people that formed this church at Jerusalem, this new nation, this holy priesthood, are those who repented and were identified with Jesus Christ as the Messiah, the Son of God, the Son of David, and heir to David's throne. And so they're identified in water baptism, looking forward to the day that the Messiah will return, and the fountain of blood that's referred to in the Old Testament, that fountain of blood in Zechariah would be opened unto them for sin and for uncleanness and so forth. Now, there's no getting around it all. If you believe the Bible, then you know that there was a church in the wilderness, but you also know that there was a new church established, and that church is the church at Jerusalem, and that is not this church back here. Everybody that had been in this church back here that became a part of this church over here could only do it through repentance and water baptism, identifying themselves with the crucified, buried, and resurrected Jesus Christ, Messiah, the Son of God, Son of David, heir to the throne. And in doing so, they look forward to His return in the future. Well, what's that got to do with you and I? Well, it has nothing to do with us other than to point out that we are not the church at Jerusalem, and we're not the church in the wilderness. We're the church which is the body of Christ, and I'll talk about that next week. But right now, let me tell you, you don't need to go anywhere to be saved. You don't need to be baptized to be saved. Salvation is by grace through faith. Christ died for your sins. Christ paid the debt for your sins on Calvary. And Paul said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. If you'll trust Him as your Savior, He'll save you right now, right where you are. Won't you receive Him? Until next time, good day.